for the time
this call
Jesus
is being
purchased.
Recorded.
Thank you. Jesus purchased and won forgiveness and eternal life for them. So those who fear this good news and believe it have eternal life that it offers. God creates faith in Christ and gives people forgiveness through him. So by Christ's suffering and death, as a substitute for all, we get to go to heaven, basically. They do believe in transubstantiation, which is when communion, the bread and the wine is blessed, that it becomes the actual body and blood of Christ. They do things a little differently than the New Apostolic Church does when it comes to communion. They only do it once a week, typically, maybe even once every 2 weeks. It depends on whether it's a Wisconsin or Missouri synod or other synods of the Lutheran Church. And a synod is basically what they call a walk. So they walk a certain way inside the Lutheran faith. Different synods have different beliefs or things that they kind of do that are different from the other. They also believe that death brings instant access to either heaven or hell. So once you die, you are immediately judged and you go to either heaven or hell. Of course, we know differently. Well, when it comes to sacraments, the sacraments are defined as something Jesus commanded us to do. Uses a physical element, something we can see, touch, and sometimes taste. This is their belief of a sacrament, connected with God's promise, the word of God, which gives faith. So the sacraments for them are baptism, the Eucharist, and penance. Non-sacramental rites are confirmation, holy matrimony, the holy orders, and anointing of the sick. Martin Luther kind of wrote the Lutheran Catechism, which I had to read inside and out. And trust me, when you go to a Lutheran church, it's like a Catholic church or anything else. You know, you are indoctrinated, and they you study day in and day out. You study math, and it's pretty devout. Not unlike the New Apostolic faith at all. It's a lot of similarities. One of the interesting things was, according to Luther, God viewed all humans as sinners, and Luther argued that entrance to heaven was not based on a person's worthiness. Completing good works did not obtain someone's salvation. Only if a person believed in God's existence and greatness would he or she receive God's grace. He believed that one must have faith in God's love. Unlike the Roman Catholics, who practiced seven sacraments, Lutherans endorsed only two, baptism and communion. So it's kind of interesting, because the Catholic Church was saying, hey, you have to pay us money. And Luther said, no, you have to believe in God. So he was on the right track, but maybe not quite on it. So any questions?
No. Right. Anybody?
Thank you.
You?
I had a question. I was on mute. Sorry. When did he create the church? I don't remember. Was it the 1300s? Or?
It was not really created. He did a lot of writings, which created basically a book about his learnings and his beliefs. And that was in the 1500s, basically, when he was in the monkery and doing his he was trying to find his faith and have his whatever they call it. I forgot the word for it, but basically when he has his coming to Jesus moment, or Jesus or God appears to him, basically. Yeah, there you go. So once he had that, then that's when he started writing down his beliefs, and then separated from the Catholic Church. And to be honest with you, I think that's when a lot of that was going on with a lot of different religions inside this. The Christian faith, but I'm not exactly sure which ones. So.
Okay. No, I was one. I thought it was the 13s, but yeah, the 1500s. I'll look at that then. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you.
And the monkeries. I love that term, man. That's a cool name. But they're called monasteries.
Monkeries.
Well, yeah, they are called monasteries, but actually in one of his writings, he actually called it a monkery, which was weird.
Really?
Because I always heard it monastery too. Yeah. So yeah, it's weird. And sometimes I know one of my teachers in confirmation always called it that. And we always looked at him like, what the heck are you talking about? But it is what it is, I guess.
Interesting.
That's part of my favorite group is the Monkeries.
I know, right? Hey, we're the Monkery.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Under a deeper understanding, I had brought to your attention last month that the Pope decided to change a part of the Lord's Prayer. He changed it from, and lead us not into temptation, to do not let us fall into temptation. The Pope said in 2017 he believed the wording should be altered, and it's not a good translation because it speaks of God who induces temptation. That's what he told an Italian TV station. He said, I am the one who falls. It's not him pushing me into temptation to then see how I have fallen. A father doesn't do that. A father helps you to get up immediately. It's Satan who leads us into temptation. That's his department. With Father about this, he told me to first preface this. Revelations 22:18-19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, that shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He is skating on dangerous thin ice, as far as Father is concerned. I said to him, could you please give us the definition of what this sentence means? And he said, I allowed Satan to tempt Jesus three times, because all men must be tested. The original translation for what Jesus was trying to teach us is this: Father, I know you must test me, but give me the strength and help me so that I do not fall prey to evil. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm. Yes.
This statement has absolutely nothing to do with Father per se, in the way that the Pope is addressing this. He just doesn't understand what Jesus was trying to teach us, because Jesus didn't have the privilege of not being tested either. So who are we to think that we wouldn't? And Father is not the one who does this, but Father is the one who allows Satan to test us. And he only allows Satan to tempt us and test us in things that he knows you and I can overcome. Any questions? Okay. Last month, I had a section called Worthless but Interesting Tidbits. This month, we're going to call it Not Worthless but Interesting Tidbits. Quasar held the service in Holland today, and he shared with the congregation something I found very nice. So I asked him to share that with you. Q?
Thanks. And so I hope that everyone else heard this thing. Oh, wait a minute. What do you want to talk about? The 184 years or?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. So today, July 14th, 1835, was when the first 12 apostles in the modern era, the modern time, which is our time, were acknowledged and introduced. And this is the beginning of what we now have as the New Apostolic Church. So that was 184 years ago today. That was really beautiful. Did anybody else hear that in service today?
Nope.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I was in Schaumburg.
Nice.
Thank you. The other thing that I will share with you is we have heard in the past that the bride of Christ is not going to be judged because she will go straight into the kingdom. the fact of the matter is, because all of mankind is evil and has sinned, not one soul is actually going to skirt judgment, not even the bride. She will actually be judged the day that Jesus takes her. And Father is the one who actually judges the bride in that second and finds them worthy so that they can meet Jesus in the clouds and then be forgiven of their sins and become perfect. Does that make sense to everybody?
I assume that. I've always thought that was the case, that our judgment was instantaneous. So maybe I missed the part that someone said the bride wasn't going to be judged.
Right. Everyone seems to think that it's Jesus that's going to judge, and he will be the only one that judges on Judgment Day. But Father mm-hmm. is the one who actually chooses the bride. So he is the one who actually judges the bride prior to her becoming perfect.
Hey, Charlie.
I just thought that was good. Yeah.
Just a question, not off topic, but aligning to it a little bit, I guess. Has Father spoken to you anything about that process when he decides to send Jesus back? Like, has he talked to you about that day when he starts judging? And I know time will essentially be non-existent, but that whole process, has he talked to you at all about that?
A little bit, which I would like to actually discuss in the next couple meetings.
Okay.
But if that's okay. Because I have sure. some more questions yeah. for him too. But yeah, it's on the upcoming itineraries.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. Good question. Thank you. If you have any other question or comment about that. Okay, one second, please. I need to make a note. Okay. I wanted to ask everybody, not all of you do this, some of you do, but if we're in the middle of the meeting, please don't send me a text because it's very distracting for me. And what happens usually is while you're sending me a text and I don't answer it, my phone continually reminds me that I have a text and I don't have a chance to go back to my phone and stop it. So if you want to talk to me, we can talk at the meeting or you can contact me before the meeting. If you're not going to make it to the meeting, yeah, fine, send me a text, but you should already know that prior to being here for the meeting. Okay. I also want to bring to your attention how serious these meetings are. We have an hour. A month, 1 hour. We only meet 11 times a year, so that's literally 11 hours that you and I get to spend together, that I have the opportunity to share with you things that are on my heart and things that Father brings to my attention. I'm okay with a little bit of humor, but I don't want anything to take away from the hour that we share that would distract us from what we're trying to accomplish here and take us off on a tangent. I like that you guys talk with each other prior to the meeting, but I would ask too that you watch the time because it took 2 minutes tonight, and I really don't want to take away any time because we don't have a lot to spend with, and I don't want to go over. I only want to spend an hour. That's what Father's asked us to do, so I would appreciate if everybody would just kind of be aware of that. And you can contact each other anytime you want. Talk to each other. He's preventing any of that, okay? Thank you. All right, here is what I have for you. Father and I had a conversation last Sunday. He said to me, you are ready, and now we need to get the team to focus and get ready. What he means is, I am completely in the right mindset to accept everything that Father has taught me and told me, and I am ready to face this world. The question I'm asking you is, do you think you are? Because we need to be serious about Father's plan and these tasks. Being a chief guardian and a child of God is the precursor to being the bride. It is the most important thing that you and I should focus in our life. And I honestly think that some of you are waiting for some big bang take place where they believe that now Father's plan is going to start moving forward. And I honestly think that a lot of you think that's going to happen the day Father announces me. The fact of the matter is the day that you accept this responsibility is the day Father's plan started moving forward, including you. His plan started years ago. And you and I have been added into that plan. And now you and I are like horses pulling a very heavy trailer behind us. You can't be waiting for something, because I will tell you this. My announcement doesn't start Father's plan. It actually is going to end it. Because at that point, you and I are in the final stages of Father's plan to try and teach mankind that this incredibly wide path that the world has created and taught them that this is what you need to do to get into the kingdom is actually incredibly narrow. It is not as wide as they think. And your and my responsibility is to teach everybody that this is the narrow path. This is what we've been taught. And this is how you get into the kingdom of heaven. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Go ahead. Just curious. So I struggle with knowing how. I mean, I know Father has it all figured out, but at times my mind struggles with understanding how Team Triland starts helping the church without you being announced. I guess I just struggle with understanding that. I know I don't need to.
I can enlighten you.
Okay.
My responsibility is not to help the church in the first stages of this. My responsibility is the three tasks that Father gave us: protect the bride of Christ, defend apostles' doctrine, and help bring the bride home, and love our neighbor as ourselves. The facet that will happen after that is me actually stepping in and giving guidance to the leaders of the church that remain after that point. So what I'm trying to tell you right now is my job is not to fix the church. And our task has absolutely nothing to do with walking hand in hand right now with the apostolate, because their job is to teach bride. Our job is going to be to teach mankind. It's a little different because a number of people who are listed under the mankind column will move over into the Bride of Christ column. They'll have absolutely nothing to do with the church during this period of time until after my announcement, because they don't know I exist. So maybe I led people to believe that I'm going to step in at some point and change the church prior to that announcement. I apologize if that's what was thought. It's not.
That was my initial thinking, yes.
Okay. All right. I apologize. That is not what's going to happen. And for me, it's very frustrating, too, that there's some things that we see that are taking place that we don't agree with. But the fact of the matter is, these are the anointed of the Lord. Jesus put these men in place. And right now, you and I have to deal with some of the changes that are going on. But ultimately, you and I have an upper hand over a lot of people because we have a direct connection to Father. We have these meetings that enlighten us and give us a little bit more information than most people get. But the fact of the matter is this: nobody on this team, whether you are a chief guardian or a spouse, can be waiting for anything to happen before you start working. And that's kind of the crux of tonight's meeting. I'm going to ask a lot of questions, and I want you to know I'm not asking these questions to correct anybody, to smack anybody, because I have to understand something. I spend a lot of time preparing for these meetings, and when these questions are given to me, I sit in those moments too, and I ask myself these exact same questions. And I have to weigh, am I doing these things, or have I thought about that? Am I being active? So please, I don't wish to offend anybody, but my intention this evening is to get everybody off their butts. Okay? So I will first ask this question. When was the last time you personally cleared your own home and your loved ones? It is not your angel's responsibility to do that. I've said this many times in the past. It is our responsibility to make sure that our properties are clear. And then once we've cleared them, then our team will stand watch. But Bob sometimes tells them to stand down to get you and I more active. Because sometimes I think you and I become very complacent and we rely on these guys. And there's been times, and I'll be honest with you, where I have taken my team for granted. And I'll look over at Michael and he'll be sitting there and all he'll say every time is, "Yes, sir, we are still here. We can't anymore." We need to be aware of what's going on in our own homes. We need to be aware of what's going on in our own spaces. And ultimately then I ask this question. When was the last time you cleared your congregation and you took care of that responsibility or the company you work for? I was spending time with Q and Starlight, so I asked Q if he would share with you what he does in the congregation, and then I asked Starlight if she would share with you what she does for her business. So Q, if you would please go first. Thank you.
Thank you. So when we're on our way to church, and it's typically in the morning, so Corinne is usually with me, and she knows we pray before we leave, or sometimes before running late, we pray as we're leaving. And then she knows that I need to do my daily, and so that I do everything that I need to. When I get done with that, then I take care of the rest of my family and all. At that point, now I'm ready to take care of the congregation. So what I do is I send out a white pod, and I'm on my way to church. I'm not even at church yet, but I send out a white pod that goes from the middle of the whole property to the edges, and then I take my sword and I just run the blade right around that entire perimeter so that the white pod is going to kill everything, but I just take the sword and do that. Then I send out blue pod, and then I put a blue shield around the whole perimeter of the property of the congregation. Then I make sure that the golden gate is around the entire church and also the altar. I just make sure that they are in good shape and everything is fine. And then I talk to Gabriel about it, and I basically say every time, "I know you know what to do, but I'm asking you again, please do a finding." And he says, "I'll let you know when it's complete." And after service begins with the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then he lets me know it's done. So finding is taken care of. That's the process. Mine is.
Thank you. Starlight?
So for the company that I work for, I have a perimeter set up around the edge of the property, and then I have a few angels surrounding the building as well. And then I have the pinnacle angels that are standing at the front door. So then when anybody enters the building, all of the yuck essentially is, I say it's like vacuumed off of them, or it's left at that front door. And so whenever anybody enters, they should be clear of any anything attached to them. I also, the other day I was walking into work, I always have a primer set up, but for some reason I felt like I just needed to refresh it. So I just started, from the ground up again. And I also ground the building. And then I work in a daycare center, so I have all the different classrooms grounded as well. And then I have standing orders that anyone who enters is grounded as well. But then I also will randomly just send out a team or ask my team to go to their homes, to anyone that, you know, comes, the kids, the teachers, whatnot, and basically do a bind and sweep on their homes and things, just to try to eliminate some of the things that, you know, would potentially come in. And I will say that in the past, you know, Father has permitted different things to enter the building, but for the most part, the kids are settled pretty well.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions on that subject? Concerns?
I actually was just thinking of something.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Oh, I wasn't sure if I was muted or not. So I have an appointment tomorrow, and I just asked my lead, I'm like, should I do that or should you do it? Meaning, you know, do I clear the facility before I go, or do I ask him to do it? Again, there's the assumption that they need us to do stuff versus we've been doing it for a billion years. Why are you telling me what to do? So when we ask for angels protection and for a coast to be clear, does that include where we're going, or is this just dealing with our daily, like, what, I don't know, help me here. I don't know what even what I'm asking, but I don't normally go to this building tomorrow. So like,
right. If it is your congregation, your home, your business, something that is yours and you are always going there, then it's your responsibility to make sure those things are cleared. If you are going to an unknown facility and it's like tomorrow, you can ask your lead to clear the building for you. But when you get there, a few seconds and look around to make sure that there isn't anything there. Because again, toes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Go
ahead.
I just wanted to say thanks to Q and Starlight for sharing, because I personally, you know, as you go through these things, you lose sight of what you used to do. When I first joined the team, like I was religious about that stuff, and I realize now that I have slacked on that big time. So thank you for reviewing. Like I said, it just, not that you lose your passion for it. You just,
right.
You sometimes get layers added on, or you just forget about things and you make things harder than they should be, or for whatever reason, your mind tries to make it easier for you. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And that's exactly why we're discussing these things. I also want to just kind of shoot this out there too. During my day, I will think about you guys. Each one of you, and there are times where I feel that we are connected because I know that you're thinking about me. But there's other times where I think about some of you and I feel absolutely nothing. And I wonder, is it because you're so focused on what's going on in this world that you forget what your responsibility is? Now, let me clarify what I'm trying to say. I do not think that you should be sucking up to me and thinking about me 24/7 and is Tryland okay? That is not what I'm talking about, okay? What I am saying is, if you are doing your responsibility that Father has asked of us, I have a feeling in my heart, and I know that you actually are.
That's so Starlight. Bring up,
yeah, exactly. That's what I pay her for.
Yeah.
So, when,
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay, fine. So me as a non-guardian, I am going to admit that not every day, but some days I do ground my office and try and run energy through it. I don't necessarily do like a whole perimeter type thing or go that far, but as me just being me, I sometimes will do that just because I know like we have so many people coming in and out and just the stuff that's brought in and all that good stuff. So. But I don't go like as far as, I mean, I don't have a sword. I'm not that fancy, so.
Exactly. You don't have the accoutrement to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to hear that you actually do something.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I'll preface again. I know when you guys are being active and when you're not. And I know that life gets in the way. And I can stand in front of Father and I can throw, I can't begin to tell you how many excuses I can come up with to tell him why I'm not doing something. And would you like to know what his response is? Nothing. He says absolutely nothing because it doesn't bear any reality. How would you and I feel if while Jesus walked this earth, he made excuses to Father as to why he couldn't do his job? The responsibility that I'm sharing with you right now bears that much weight. There isn't anybody else in this world that he's picked to do what we're going to do or what we currently are doing. We're already supposed to be doing this job. And I know that it's kind of hard to get your head around the whole thing. And sometimes we get distracted, just like Atmos said, and sometimes we lose sight of different things. But when you boil it all down, our responsibility is what Father told us. And we have to do it now. And if you and I are not doing I'm not going to say anything is easy being a guardian, but if we're not doing these little things now, what happens when the bigger things come? And that's the whole purpose why we have these meetings every month, because I would like to get everybody to recalibrate themselves and understand what is expected of them, because I don't want you to ever say to me, you know what, Trilyn, I didn't know. You never really told me. This is blindsiding me. What do you mean I'm supposed to be protecting mankind? I'm supposed to be testifying. I'm supposed to be doing these. I didn't know that. I can't have that. And I'll say this too. I can't do this on my own. And that's why Father picked you for me, because he knows you can do this or he wouldn't have chosen you. So because these meetings are so important, here's my next question to everybody, and it's not just to the guardians. What energy do you bring to the meeting, and how do you prepare for the meeting? Because I feel sometimes in my heart that you guys view this meeting as a huge inconvenience. And I don't understand why I would be feeling that. A couple other guardians said to me they kind of feel that too sometimes. So I'm just throwing it out there. Is there something more you would like from the meeting? And how much do you actually prepare before you get on the call? It's no different than the way you and I are supposed to prepare for a service. These meetings are supposed to be incredibly interactive, which means I am not here to feed you. And you just sit back and you take in what you need. We need to share. We need to learn from each other. And that's why I pulled in Q and Starlight tonight. And that's also why I've asked Atmos to talk about religions, because I'm trying to spark conversations about things that you and I might not always focus on, but need to be aware of. So before you get to this meeting, let me do this. This is what I do before I even get on the phone call with you. The minute we get off this call tonight, when I pray, I ask Father to prepare me for the next meeting. If I don't do it tonight, I'll do it the next day. And then I ask HS to bring things to my attention that we need to discuss in the next meeting. During this period of time, I'll continually talk with Father, and I will invite the three of them to come. During the week, try to figure out when I have the time to speak with Father, because I don't want him to give me the message too far out. I would like it to be fresh a couple days prior to when I'm meeting, because I know there's a lot of things going on in all of our lives. And Father's word is always timely. It always is, no matter if I take it on a Tuesday, a Thursday, or a Saturday. It's very timely. The day of the meeting, I will usually spend an hour, no less than a half hour, preparing myself to talk with you and share with you what was brought to my attention. Prior to me even sitting down in my desk chair and starting to prepare, I try to sanctify myself and I try to ask Father to help me let go of anything that will be a hindrance to you or the meeting, that he would purify my heart. I make sure that I'm holding no grudges against anyone. I make sure that I am in his right mind, that he and I have spoke, that I've asked him to forgive me if even prior to between the service and now, I may have done something wrong. I ask him to forgive me, and I make sure that I'm not holding anything against anyone else. And then I get into the center of my mind, I step before him, I bow, and I get on my knees and I pray, and I ask him to prepare my heart and to make me a worthy vessel to bring to you whatever it is that's on his heart, and that HS will move me to say the right things. This is the effort that I put into this because it's that important to me. So before you get on the phone call, you should already have thought during the week, if there's something on your heart you would like us to talk about, ask Father to bring it to my attention. Or send me an email. Say, I had a question about this. I was wondering if we could talk about that. I'm not too clear on this subject. And that's why I prefaced at the beginning of this meeting that this is a safe zone. There is no stupid question. There is no moronic thing that you could say. There should be no embarrassment at any time at all, because we're brothers and sisters and we love each other. And our common goal is to please Father. I don't want Satan sticking his fingers in your pudding and confusing things for you and telling you that you shouldn't make any, you shouldn't talk about anything. You know everything. If you don't understand it, you will in time. We don't have time for that. I guess that's, it's the sense of urgency I'm trying to bring into everybody's heart tonight. We don't have any more time, my friends. Do you understand that? We're already in the thick of things. If you haven't noticed, there's a lot of natural destructions taking place. The wars are still around us, but you and I are not affected by them yet. Conversations change around us. Starlight recently have noticed how many people are being taken in car accidents and other things. We are in the time, and you and I need to be on top of our game. Any questions?
No question here, Charlie. And just a quick comment to everybody that I can't let go because it happened earlier in the week and I was supposed to bring it up in your recent chat, or what you just said brought it back to me. So the book of Titus, the first chapter, starting with verse 5, I think we all need to reread that and maybe understand that. And that's all the way through verse 16. I think it really kind of matches with what you've discussed here, Triland, and it gives us maybe a high-level overview of, hey, here's what it means to be a little bit of what it means to be a chief guardian, maybe some of the core essentials. So just an FYI, Titus chapter 1, starting with verse 5.
Thank you. Everyone, please make a note. Go ahead.
I also want to say that I'm sorry if you feel unpreparedness from our household. we don't necessarily always have the time to prepare the way we want to prepare because we have two children. So I know it's an excuse, and I get that. But I can also apologize for the fact that we don't take the time to recognize it.
That's why I'm bringing it to everybody's attention.
I know. But I just wanted to be honest and apologize for me.
And I appreciate that. Thank you. I had a conversation with the guardian. We were discussing the difference between the dailies and running energy and what actual meditation is. And he said that he does the dailies, and then he goes and he sees his Father. And he thought that was meditation. That is not meditation. The definition of meditation is the inward reflection of the self. And I think that some of us might think that meditation is too complicated and it involves too many steps. So I will share with you quickly what it is to meditate. So the first thing you want to do is you do your dailies, right? What is meditation? Meditation is where you actually sit in the center of your mind and you think about your day. Someone also said to me, this is going to sound conceited, but I honestly don't feel like I need to work on anything from my past. And I said, you probably don't, because you already have. But what you can focus on is what went wrong, either the day meditating or the week prior to it. Did you get angry? Did you swear? Are you upset at somebody at work? And it's usually not what that person says to you or did to you that sets you off. There's something in you that you haven't faced. Go find what that is. When you're going through your dailies and you're grounding yourself and you're putting your protection roses up, do you take the time to actually walk through your house before you put that up? Do you actually take the time to look through the layers of your aura prior to putting up your protection roses? Do you completely forget to do those things? And then when you're in the midst of having a crap day, then realize, oh my gosh, I probably should have done those things. Meditation is not too complicated, my dear brothers and sisters. It is something you and I need to do because you and I are going to face things that are going to get thrown at us. And you and I have to be in control of our emotions and know exactly who we are. Because you and I are going to be put on display as the great examples of faith for Father. Yes, I know that sounds overwhelming and you're saying to yourself there's no way. But yes, there is, because Father has picked you. And the crazy thing is that through every single meeting that you and I have participated in, he's given you and I everything we need to do this. That's why he often says to me, have I not given them what they need to get through the week when it's a service? I give them everything they need to get through the month because they sat in the meeting and they listened. I want to preface, if you're not listening to everything that's being said during the meeting, then go back and listen to the recording. There's things that I miss too, and I go back and listen to the meetings, and I'm the guy holding the meeting, and sometimes I go, oh, wow, I didn't even know I said that. It's important that you and I take the time to reflect inwardly on ourselves and fix ourselves. You got to find the time, because people say to me, you know, Jim, I'm so busy. I just don't have the time. I'm so tired. I can't focus. And it's an oxymoron or a catch-22. Because if you and I actually took the time to meditate, we wouldn't be so tired. We would be able to focus more. We would have the time. So please take the time. Father also said he would very much like you and I to spend more time with him. What time or what do you do to prepare yourself before you actually go and see Father? Do you sanctify yourself? Do you purify yourself? Or do you just show up in front of him? And what do I mean by sanctify and purify yourself? Basically, what you're going to do is before you go and see Father, you're going to let go of everything that is earthly. You're not going to drag into the chamber your day. He is not our dumpster. He deserves the best. Do you even think of bringing something to give to Father as a gift from your heart? Or do we always expect that he should be giving us something when we show up? Think about that. And think about this too. In the circle of a few friends, I said to them, do we even understand that the creator of everything has given you and I the opportunity to stand in front of him and spend time with him? We take that for granted. Some say to me, I'm too tired, or I'm weak and I have no energy. I can't focus. And this week I've been listening to the Old Testament on CD when I drove to and from work. And I was in the part where Elijah wanted to give up and die. And he wanted Father to leave him alone because he's being chased by the priests of Baal and all those people that want to kill him. And I sat in this moment as I listened to what they said. And basically they said, and an angel of the Lord showed up and he woke Elijah up and he said, eat. And he gave him some bread and a bottle of water. And I said, now the angels are baking. Well, that's pretty cool. Anyway, he ate that one meal, it was only one time, and then he lived off of that for 40 days. Is that time any different than this time? Have you ever asked your angel to strengthen you? They're there for a reason. You and I both get worn out and we're tired, and you have every reason in the world to ask them to help you. Don't forget that.
I didn't even know that was an option.
Oh, yeah. It is an option. There you go. You can ask them.
Like a user manual for our angels.
Yeah. Well, this again is why we have these meetings, so you can turn a page. We're going to go a little bit over tonight. I apologize, but I asked Starlight to share an experience with you because it was an eye opener, and I think that it might help other people on this team that might wrestle with this exact same situation. So, Starlight, if you would please.
Okay. So, over the past few months, I had been wrestling, I guess, with my faith, per se. Not so much that, oh, I'm going to walk away or I don't believe, but I, and I'll use some words that may sound harsh, but that was the only way I could describe it. And I think by the time I finish what I'm saying, you'll probably hopefully have a better understanding of why I picked certain words. So I, for a few months, I've had different situations come up and certain things happen. And I felt as though that sometimes I was being manipulated with my faith. And I know the word manipulation doesn't sound like it should even belong with what I'm saying, but I guess the easiest way to describe that, like, for example, one situation in I'll start with is, like, when I was waiting to go see the neurologist to see if I had MS or not, Trilan said to me, "It's not MS. Father said it's not MS. And I said, well, that's okay. You know, if it's not, are you sure it's not MS? Because Father likes to backdoor us." And I say backdoor us, and it's not, you know, when I say backdoor, I don't mean it in a negative way, even though it probably sounds like it is. But what it simply is to me is that I have a different understanding or a different expectation, more of like a worldly or earthly, you know, answer to things than what my perception is different than what he says. So then we go to the neurologist's office, and I knew inside of me that I had MS. I knew. And we get to the neurologist's office, and the neurologist says, "Well, I'm going to call it," he says, "you have a cousin of MS, but I'm going to call it MS in order for you to have, you know, to get the medical attention that you need." Okay. So then I look at Triland, I give him the look of, "See, told you so." And then we move on with our lives. But with that situation, there are many situations, and that one was just the one that came to mind earlier when I was having a conversation, but there's many times where sometimes you feel like I feel like when you're trying to do the best that you can, or you're trying to, you never want to let Father down, and you're always trying to make your decisions based upon, you know, you want to become the bride. So then you're trying to make choices and trying to make decisions. And then Father wants you to do something, or, you know, he's trying to guide you in a certain way or whatever. And I got to the point where I was just completely exasperated with some things. And I made the comment to Triland. And I also, I talked to Q, and I talked to him as Q, but then I also talked to him as Priest Waters, because I was trying to, you know, find a different layer of discernment. And I was trying to see, okay, is this Satan? Is this the spirits? Is, you know, because I know logically Father doesn't do anything to cause harm or, you know, manipulation. That's not what he does. Everything that he does is out of love. So then when I talked to Q about it, we had, you know, there were no answers necessarily given, but So I've been, you know, trying to find the answers over the past couple months. And I even got to the point where, you know, I still talked with Father, but I was very, very guarded because it just seemed like situation after situation. It just seemed like, you know, I felt like I was going crazy at certain points and trying to figure out how things were supposed to be. Or, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit or Father, he'll give you a little bit of information, you know, about the future. Okay, well, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. So then when I had a conversation, well, basically I broke down and, you know, and I was talking to Triland and I said, this is my ugly and I'm not proud of it. I said, I know this is absolutely horrible and I shouldn't be even thinking this or wondering about this. And, you know, I explained the situation to him and he reiterated that Father wouldn't do those things. And did you want to say what
sure.
you said? Okay.
I said to her, first off, Father doesn't bat for anybody. I said, so you need to come up with a different name. I then said, you have to understand something. As a parent, you're a parent. Don't you wish that your son would go and do the right things? And so you greatly encourage him to go a certain way. But ultimately, it's his own decision whether he wants to or not. Are you guiding him or are you manipulating him? Well, that just set her off in a more of a tirade. That was the wrong thing to say.
So then in essence, he's telling me I shouldn't feel the way that I'm feeling. So then I let him know in a heated way that you can't take away. Logically, I understand what you're saying, but this is the way that I'm feeling and you can't take away my feelings. And I don't know what to do with my feelings because my feelings are valid, but I they're mine and you can't tell me how to feel. So I basically just, I sat on it and I've been talking to Father about it, trying to get a little bit of understanding, praying about it. And then finally this morning, after a few months of trying to understand what it actually is, and I have to say, because I have to kind of backpedal a second, Triland also said to me during that time period, he said, I liked the Lauren that you were, or Starlight, the way that you were when you were in the hospital and when you were first diagnosed with MS. He said, that's the Lauren I fell in love with. He said, I don't know what is, you know, going on now. So during that time, I also was thinking about, what is he talking about? Who was I then? I don't, you know. And so today on the way to church, I was talking to Father and, you know, he had said to me, he said, sometimes he, you know, and the Holy Spirit as well, they had said that in different things were brought forth during service today as well, that sometimes we do know what's going to happen in the future, but we don't know about everything and everything that plays into it. And if we knew everything, then we would know, you know, too much and we wouldn't be able to handle it. And if he does let us know certain things, sometimes it causes confusion and it's hard for us to comprehend how we're in this moment, but yet we're supposed to get, you know, we're going, that something in the future is going to happen. So there's lots of things that happen between our free will and other people's free will. And it's as simple as we just need to trust Father and he'll take care of it. And a lot of times, and I know personally, we think that we want to know what's going to happen in the future, but if you actually know what's going to happen in the future, it's going to cause more problems. And so I'm just looking, I was taking notes during service because it was just one of those aha moments. And if you know, the future and you have an idea of what it is and it doesn't turn out my way or my brain's way of thinking, then you feel like you're being manipulated. So Father wasn't actually, or lied to. So he wasn't actually lying or manipulating. It was my brain thinking, well, this is the way that it was supposed to be. You know, even though Father never said it was supposed to be that way, but that's the way that my brain was thinking. So I could see how other people in other faiths or even in our new apostolic faith or, you know, in even in eternity where they feel as though that their faith or they've been manipulated or lied to, you know, obviously they're in some faiths or denominations, you know, there obviously isn't necessarily in line with the doctrine and things. But, you know, I could see how easily somebody could almost, you know, want to walk away or turn their backs. And sometimes not knowing is better. And it was brought to me that think about Jesus and when he was going to be crucified and he knew everything that was going to happen. I can't even imagine because I only get snippets of what's going to happen, you know, in the future or just little teasers here and there. I can't imagine what he was thinking or how maybe that gave him strength because he knew there was going to be an end to it. I don't know. That was just, that's a lot. And I think that Jesus probably is the only one that could handle all of that because Father isn't giving it to anyone else to know what exactly was, you know, going to be coming down, you know, the pipeline. So,
you know, Jesus said, knowing all that didn't make it any easier for him to.
No.
I was just going to say the thought that came to me was that he was tempted more than any other mm-hmm. point in time while he was on earth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he still makes things.
Yes.
And so kind of to go back to when Trilan said, I miss my wife who is like she was when she was in the hospital. And there are a few points during that time period of when he first said it, I would ask him, well, explain to me what you're talking about, you know, and what I came back to was that when I was in the hospital, I was walking with, I guess, a blind faith, or I had blinders on, and I wasn't concerned about what the future was. I wasn't concerned, you know, the manipulation and all that or being lied to. I wasn't concerned about all of that. The only thing that my concern was is that I trusted Father. That was it. Hands down, I trusted Father, and I knew everything was going to be okay. And so that I was convicted. You know, and I'm still convicted in that, but I was on fire. And so now, as I sit back, I replay moments when I was in the hospital and how calm and at peace and everything. I even surprised myself, honestly, how I was, but it was really an amazing time. I feel like I'm on my way back to that, but I feel like sometimes I get so consumed with what's going to happen in the future or, you know, things didn't turn out my way. So it was manipulation or whatever. I feel like that just life is so much easier when you just trust Father and it doesn't really matter. I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it doesn't matter. He's got it, whatever the future is. Did I cover everything?
You did.
Yeah, I wonder if I can interject because so when we talked about this today,
mm-hmm.
the point about it is that you could not help the way that you felt. You couldn't shake it. It was just there. You could not see it. It's like you had no control. And
mm-mm.
it drove you crazy because you couldn't just say, oh, I'm fine. Everything's good. I'm going to have blind faith now. You couldn't help that feeling, okay?
Mm-mm.
And a couple of things that we talked about, first of all, how many souls have felt exactly that way or will still feel exactly that way coming up that gives you some empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, it didn't matter what your husband said to you. You couldn't stop feeling that way. And so then we kind of in that realization, you know, my wife and I and you and Tryland, and Tryland, what was it that you said is that's the right thing to say?
Great. Now I got to remember.
I said all I wanted to hear. Oh, this morning it's going to be okay, because this morning we were getting ready for church and the Holy Spirit put into me, because I thought all I want to hear from my husband is that it's going to be okay. And I sat there in that moment and I'm like, what are you talking about? Everything is fine. But then it was when I was talking to him about how I was feeling and all that, and he, you know, was pushing back on
defending
father. That's what I was looking for. That's not what I necessarily needed. All I needed him to say was I don't necessarily know the answers, but I do know it's going to be okay. You know, you'll figure this out. It's going to be okay. And that struck me in that moment, that a lot of times people are going to come to us and need our help and want answers, but it's not for us to give them the answers, because they have to go along their own path and they have to have their own learning experiences and things, because we just can't hand everything to everyone and give them the answers, because it may not be the answer that they're looking for. They need to have their own experience, in that just giving them the reassurance of, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, and just being empathetic with them, because they aren't necessarily always looking for the answers from you or from me.
Correct. And then I said, when we come into a situation, you and I personally can't allow our emotions to get in the way of the situation. We have to let the person express what they're feeling, and they feel what they feel. And the reason why I asked her to share this with everybody tonight is because it goes hand in hand with the entire meeting we had. It is not our place to try and figure out the little details. Father's not given them to us. But what he has given to us is the crux and the main focus of what it is you and I should be doing. And in time, he is then going to tell us everything that we need to do. But what he's always done throughout all the time is given the person he's singled out a little bit of information and tested them to see if they're actually going to do what he's asking of them and move forward. And when they do that, then he gives them a little more information and a little more information. And everyone around him thinks he's insane and crazy and doesn't know what he's doing or her. We are those people in this time. I've said that before. It's not up to you and I to try and figure everything out. We don't. What we need to figure out are ourselves. Who are we? What is our responsibility? And what do I need from Father or Tryland to move forward and be the chief guardian that they expect to be and need me to be? I'm throwing that out there because you need to ask Father to help you, and you need to ask me to help you. And I know that life gets in the way, and life is complicated, and things distract us, and things suck. I know that. And there are constant things that change in our life from one day to the next that can change in the flip of a snap of a finger. But what doesn't change, my dear friends, is what Father expects of us. His expectation never changes. Have you ever thought about that? It doesn't matter what you and I think. It matters what Father thinks and what he's asked of us. So I need everyone to focus on that in this time. Live in the moment and stop worrying about what's coming tomorrow. Jesus said, Father gives a bird something to eat every day and they don't have to worry about anything. He's not going to take care of you. We both, Lauren and I, and I want to say Lauren and I because Jim and Lauren sometimes get wrapped up in the, oh my gosh, how are we going to get that done? How can we afford that? How is that going to happen? And then it all just kind of falls into place when we let go of it and say, you got it, Father. And then recently, Starlight read something where she said, you should be thanking God for the things that he hasn't given you yet, but you know that he's going to in time. Already thank him. up front before he's given you anything. So we do that now. Thank you, Father, for helping us get through the week. Thank you for providing the financial stability that we need to survive this day or this bill that shows up. And what's ironic is we all know that, but Satan comes, and that's the other thing I want to make a point on. He is still incredibly active, even though he doesn't show himself to you. He picks at your heart. He picks at your loved one's heart. He still stirs up arguments. He makes something that's nothing into something that's huge. And you and I are little robots that flop around on the floor being wound up like idiots, and he steps back and laughs at us. And you and I should know better than that, shouldn't we? But we let our emotions take over, and we lose ourselves in that moment, and we become incredibly human. And we forget, Father's got this. That is my new saying. Father's got it. All we got to do is move forward and follow the path he's laid out. My dad came from the attorney last week, and he said to me, just stay the course, Jim. Things are going to change very quickly. And you know that when Father does something, it goes boom, 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 which is proof to you that that is his plan. So I'll say that to all of you. The course. Don't let anything anymore from this point forward distract you from who you are and what you are and what Father needs us to be. Any questions?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I've been feeling more and more detached from things of this earth, if that makes sense to you. Like,
yes.
Just walking out in nature used to be much more relaxing and fun for me. Hunting used to be much more fishing. That type of stuff used to be much more fun and enjoyable for me, and it's not anymore. And that makes me mad because I don't have a way to relax anymore, and I don't know where to go. So I'm not saying that it's along those lines, right? It's not like – And you know, not like what Starlight was talking about, but it's along those lines. Like, we're not of this earth anymore. But how do I relax? How do I enjoy myself? How do I cut loose a little bit when none of these things really matter anymore? Is that stupid, weird? I don't know.
No. No.
Not at all.
It's because you're changing, and that's a good thing. And we want to sway away from
it. We can't have fun anymore?
No. That's not what I'm saying. You can still enjoy those things. But maybe Father's trying to show you something different that you'll enjoy that isn't those things on that level. So why don't you ask him to show you what that is? And I'll pray for you. I'll ask the team to pray for each other, that all of us find something that helps us relax, that doesn't cost a dime. We wish.
That
we can do that for each other. Exactly. Yes. No, it makes complete sense.
You're detaching yourself from the world. Those are worldly things. Those are things that you use to find enjoyment in, just like some people, you know, it would enjoy going shopping or whatnot, doing those things. It's nothing wrong with it. But when it's distracting you from your focus on Father, then he will eliminate those things or make them not necessarily so enjoyable either. But maybe it's you growing as a person, and there may be something else. Maybe you'll find more joy in meditation, or maybe you'll find more joy in you know, reading the Bible, or, you know, maybe there's other things that where the things of the world seem to be distracting us more and more rather than digging deeper into our faith. I'll just put that out there.
Yes. And Starlight came upon something called shifting, and I wasn't actually going to read it until now because you bring this up. So shifting. As you are shifting, you will begin to realize that you are not the same person you used to be. The things you used to tolerate have become intolerable. When you once remained quiet, you are now speaking your truth. When you once battled and argued, you are now choosing to remain silent. You are beginning to understand the value of your voice, and there are some situations that no longer deserve your time, energy, and focus. And that is because you are changing. It's a good thing, Atmos. A good thing. Anything else anybody would like to add?
I'll just add one thing.
Yeah.
When, and I know you'll understand what I'm saying when I say it, and believe me, in sincerity, this is true. The most enjoyable time I have in anything that I do in life is when I'm talking about Father. And it's because he's right there. And then if you ever think about the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is fleeting. We're happy for a minute and then something distracts us and we're not. Joy is a gift from him that he gives to us when we do what he wants us to do, and that feeling we can keep longer. And I know it maybe sounds strange and maybe preachy, but I'm amazed at how many times throughout a day that I'll have an opportunity to start talking with someone, and we start talking about faith and that, and it's so exciting. I get off the phone and I go, oh, that was so cool. I loved it. But that's the point. And we have to become the bride. We become the bride by practice. And I just throw that out there. Look for opportunities.
Yes. Thank you. Luke, you had something you want to say?
Yeah. At most, something that has helped me fairly recently is I've experienced similar things to you. I mean, things that I loved doing in the past, I don't care for anymore, and it was frustrating, and it was a real struggle. And then I realized that I can use potentially worldly but still spiritual gifts that Father has given me to spend time with him. I'll use music as an example. Anytime I play my horn or guitar or sing in church, or if I have a gig with my band, even though that's not necessarily a spiritual experience for other people, I can make it spiritual for myself by going to Father and saying, Father, thank you so much for this gift that you've given me. Help me to use this to praise you. And that has made performing and playing music in general that much more powerful for me. And I found that it's made it a better experience for other people as well, because they see that spark and they know that there's something else behind it. It's not just me doing what I'm doing for me. It's for a bigger purpose. So I don't know if that helps at all or if that just...
Yeah, no, thank you. It does. I had never looked at it from that standpoint before, so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to ask everybody to think for the next 4 weeks, and I would like everyone, and I'm not just talking to the guardians, I'm talking to everybody, I would like everyone over the next 4 weeks to think about one topic of something that you would like us to discuss. Maybe it's something that you don't completely understand. Maybe it's something that you would like to have more defined. Maybe you've got something brand new that you would like to bring to the group. If you could please think about those things over the next 3 weeks and then send me an email, please. And I'm asking everyone to participate. And I don't care if it's something small, something large, something that's on your heart, because HS is going to awaken something in everybody's heart. I know that. Please participate and send me that information, okay? And then on a personal note, Starlight and I will be moving back to Kalamazoo next month. There's a couple reasons. The first one is the place we're living in right now decided that they could raise our rent by $60 a month, which puts us way over our comfort zone. The other reason is the drive back and forth from here to Kalamazoo is killing my wife. So I will be doing the drive, and we will make this work. And this falls into the same category. When this all happened, I looked at Father and said, thank you for the new place you're going to let us move in, and thank you for giving us the money to help us move there. It's much appreciated. And didn't you know, he did all that for us, as I knew he would, because we have faith in him. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add?
If you need help moving, let us know.
We will. Thank you.
Hey, I'd like to just share something quick. If that's okay.
Yep.
The new apostle for the area finally got to Orlando, and the rector and his wife are moving. So they couldn't have the meeting that the apostle wanted at their house. So we had it here at the Casa Push. And so the apostle held the service for the departed last week, gave a wonderful explanation, detailed to the nth degree on what service for the departed was. I had an opportunity to talk with him briefly afterwards. He didn't know who I was, wanted to know exactly what I like, told him, another sister reiterated that she didn't even know all those different points, which was great for him because he, you know, was able to expound on that. Later on in the afternoon, there was a church fellowship. Liz introduced me as her brother, and he was able to talk to me, and I talked with him for another 10 minutes, which is fantastic. And then later on, we had the minister's meeting here at the house. So I had to take a nap because I was just bushed. So they were all there after the service, and I, you know, closed my door, and then I slept for about 20 minutes to 30 minutes. I came out, and he sat up, jumped up from where he was, and ran over to say hello to me. And that was just huge. You know, one on a personal level, but when have you met an apostle that is stopped doing what they're doing to jump up and say hello, right? I mean, then he finally put two and three together and figured out who I was, right? And he goes, I'll talk to you a couple times today. I went, yes, you have. It was a great meeting, very wise man. Not that we second guess who Father chooses for his ministers, but this gentleman is gonna be a great apostle. Very heartfelt, very warming, very inviting, very wise, knows his Bible in and out like we expect our apostles to, but then engage the ministers in different questions, which I'll try to remember, and then I'll email Tryland the details. But I just wanted to share with it what a wonderful opportunity. And I thought how apropos that as a guardian, I got to sit in as a secret guest, right? There's no way I would have been invited if it was in any other house, right? So he's already been introduced to the guardian of the area down here. But it was a wonderful evening. And he's what's funny is that his plane was canceled and rescheduled and canceled and rescheduled and canceled and rescheduled. He didn't have to leave until 11:30. So wow. He was here late. And he stayed until about 9:15. And it was just him and Sam and myself and David Weber, one of the priests here, who is actually from Canada, who knows all the royalty, as we used to say, from Canada, the Krauses. He's related to the Krauses and all them. So it was a very wonderful evening. And Father manipulated the evening to where the apostle knows the family and knows me, which, you know what I mean? Take it for what it's worth. I'm not saying he has to know me, but now he knows of me, right? And of a guardian. So if for some reason, somewhere down the line, I have a feeling if it's ever, hey, you know, that Ryback guy, blah, 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 I'm like, well, no, I know his brother. He's okay.
He's crazy.
Yeah. But it was a great evening. So I wanted to share with it made my heart very happy last weekend. And I'm still happy this week too.
Thank you for sharing.
Thanks.
Our next team meeting will be Sunday, August 11th. And I asked Aquos if he would pray and close the team meeting. So Aquos, please.
Can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you and we say thank you for everything that you have given. We give thanks for everything that you have given. That is evident for us. There has been much that has been said in this hour and a half that we have been speaking, much that needs to be digested, different things for different people. But we ask that HS is active in that in the coming week and weeks, and that we can continue to remain close to you, and we be able to continue to carry out our lives and our journeys of faith and our path of faith in love, the strong connection to you your sons and the Holy Spirit, so that we can be more and more confident in our lives that what we are doing are the right things. Because without that equation, we are lost, and we don't want to be lost. We've heard that the path is narrow, and it is more important for us to have that connection so that we do not get lost and we remain on that narrow path. Each one has their cares, each one has their concerns, and we ask that, and we pray that each one may be able to continue to feel your hand in their lives, in their situations, in their problems, and that with that they may be able to feel a peace. You know, it's always prayed that if it's in your will, then let the situation change. But if it's not in your will that the situation change, then we pray that each one may have peace, acceptance, and they may grow closer to you in good times and in bad times. We pray that each and everyone may have a good rest of the night, a good coming week and weeks, and we are ready to prepare ourselves for next Sunday service and then the following meeting that comes as well. Look after all things, but above all, we pray that we may be ready for the day when your Son will return. What we may have forgotten, we ask that you cover in grace. We pray all things if it is in your will in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Love all of you very much. Have a great week.
Love you guys.
Yeah.